Women are underrepresented among major corporate CEOs.
They are also underrepresented in Congress, though their numbers have grown until they make up roughly one-fifth of Congress.
But there is one powerful group where women are a clear majority. It's the electorate, people who can vote.
Women make up 53% of that group, and this week we bring you several stories under the headline, She Votes.
We'll examine how both parties try to win over women, and today we start with a look at a particularly sought-after group, unmarried women. Here's NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson.
If you want to understand single women in politics, you need to talk to Paige Gardner at the Voter Participation Project.
We've been studying unmarried women voters for about 10 years now.
And why?
Because they determine elections. They're 25% of the electorate. They're growing at a faster rate than married women, and they can determine who is and who is not elected.
And this year, unmarried women, more than any other group, could determine who controls the U.S. Senate. Along with young people and minorities, single women are part of the mighty coalition that helps Democrats win presidential elections. Single women were the key to success for Barack Obama in 2012. He lost married women by 7 points to Mitt Romney, but won the women's vote overall because he carried unmarried women by a whopping 36%. Democratic pollster Celinda Lake.
They vote overwhelmingly Democratic if they vote, but that's the big issue. They drop off in enormous numbers, and in fact, the estimate is that there will be 10.5 million unmarried women who drop off between 2012 and 2014.
From 2008 to 2010, the single women's vote dropped by over 20 points, and Lake expects the same thing will happen this year. This is a big problem for Democrats, and it's why they're pushing an agenda tailored to these women's concerns: minimum wage, pay equity, sexual assault, the safety net, college affordability, and birth control. Paige Gardner.
49% of all workers who make minimum wage or sub-minimum wage are unmarried women, so their lives are stretched and stressed. They want affordable child care. They need pay equity. They need a stop to pregnancy discrimination in the workforce. These women need policies and candidates who understand their lives.
North Carolina is one of the most important Senate battleground states this year. It happens to be a state where unmarried women make up a larger than average share of the population, and where the share of single women who didn't show up to vote in off-year elections is also larger than average. So last week, I went to Durham, North Carolina, to listen to a group of single women hosted by Women Advance NC, a nonpartisan advocacy group. Valerie Evans is a mom and marathon runner who works in higher education.
Education is really a big issue for me, but also women's right to choose. But I wouldn't say that I'm an activist until last summer, when all that legislation was going through impacting women's right to choose in North Carolina. It really fired me up.
Democrats call these reproductive policies the Republicans' war on women, and they're hoping that message will motivate voters like Valerie Evans. But just as important is an economic message to engage women like Kara Davies and Ashley Previler.
I'm working in retail right now. I have a college degree, and I'm working at Macy's in the ladies' shoe department. And every day, it kills me. I look at my college diploma every day, and I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm $30,000 in debt. I'm 23 years old. Like, it's insane.
Like you, I have a college degree. I'm in massive debt. It took me over a year to find a job, and I relied on programs during that time. My son received services from the early intervention program. He had Medicaid as a secondary insurance, and those types of programs helped me get to where I am today, which is able to take care of myself and my family.
These are women who have all voted for Democrats in presidential elections, but they are less engaged this year. Hannah Jernigan isn't sure why.
I don't know. I guess I felt like I had more information about it. Maybe it was just more hyped up than it was than local elections, and it got me excited. I mean, I feel very patriotic whenever it's presidential election time. Like, I feel like I'm a true American. Like, I am going out there to vote. I don't know. I don't know why it's different in local elections. I think it is just I don't hear about it as much.
This year, when these women do hear about politics, they don't like it.
But, you know, the only thing I've heard about recently are the negative ads that are being shown. And then I just, you know, I don't even pay those any attention because it's coming from the, you know, whatever American for Americans group or something like that. You know, like, it's only been negative things.
You know, every once in a while you turn on the TV and all you see is a negative thing. You say, ugh, never mind.
Single women like these, economically stressed and turned off by politics, are the Democrats' prime targets. But they're hard to organize because they're disaffiliated, meaning they don't go to church as much as married women or belong to other community groups. Celinda Lake says registering these women and turning them out to vote is very hard to do.
One of the things we're facing this year is the potential for even greater drop-off than usual because unmarried women have been hit very hard in this economy. They are more mobile. So they get disenfranchised more. They're more likely to be renters.
In 2012, the Obama campaign developed a set of sophisticated high-tech tools to track down and mobilize voters. This year, the Democrats are updating those tools. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has developed a new computer model called ROSI, for Rosie the Riveter. It stands for Reengaging Our Sisters in Elections. Kelly Ward is the executive director of the DCCC.
We can identify a voter by their marital status and then match that to a turnout model that helps us identify those unmarried women who, when they vote, they will vote for Democrats but are not likely to vote this cycle. We want to go after those voters and start a conversation with them about how this election has a stake in their lives and why they should care about it.
Republicans are trying to woo unmarried women, too, with a softer tone and proposals on issues like school choice. But the task isn't as urgent for them this cycle. Republicans have an advantage with married women, and that's accentuated in off-year elections because married women tend to show up and vote in midterms as well as presidential years. Christine Matthews is a Republican pollster.
The unmarried women are really the Democrats' challenge for 2014. Republicans win married women. But what the challenge is that when we win married women, we win them by 7 points. And in presidential years, the Democrats have been winning unmarried women by 36 points. So the Democrats need those kind of numbers in an off year.
That won't happen. But even limiting the drop-off rate of single women could help Democrats hang on to some Senate seats in November. Republicans have a serious long-term problem with women voters in general. But this year, it's Democrats who have the more pressing problem as they try to get some of their most reliable female supporters to become reliable voters. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.